the doors don't necessarily fit our thinking. If you are experienced enough in life, you have seen a lot of things come and go, you realize this: nothing works exactly according to plan. It generally goes in the direction of your plan if your plan is a good plan, born of prayer. But it's never 100%. Because you and I are not perfect, you and I do not know everything, and your planning was based on your best knowledge at that time. And as you go along the way, you realize that as God adds more wisdom and God adds His input, there is a general flow where God adds His details. If you experience enough in life, you realize, do your best to plan in prayer and in God. Because a planned life is a disciplined life. But leave an open door for God to interrupt your plans. For God to sharpen your plans. For God to change your plan. Don't be one of those stubborn people who, you know, stick to your plan. You know, I'm going to the Jews. I'm going to the Jews. If they kill me, behead me, chop me in pieces, I'm still going there. No. Paul learned to flow. His custom, his Jewish blood, his zeal, his love, everything we need, he wants to reach out to the Jews. He said in Romans, he would rather die and be accursed than his whole Jewish nation be saved. That's how much he loved them. But God was turning him in the direction of the Gentiles. So, in number one, the doors that God opened are not always exactly the kind of doors that you and I expect. It can be contrary to your thinking, your custom, and everything within you. And so the advice is to discover the door of grace and favor God has for your life. Do your best to pray through things. And remember, you got to pray until God gives you the signal. But sometimes as you pray through, you can't just sit around do nothing. There are a few things that God wants you to do. Like Paul, you got to go and discover those doors. And as you discover them, be open to God changing little parts to direct you in the right direction. And God will. God will. The other part of it, let's look at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. The other part to God guiding you, and we're talking about God guiding us with grace and favor. This is a conclusion on this series, so that we got enough principles for you to get by, to move into grace and favor that God has for you. Our first point is, as we mentioned, that it's not always the doors that you expect. So you have to be open to God showing you the door progressively as you faithfully walk your way in God. Chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. God reveals His doors one step at a time. So if God is going to reveal it at step 7, you will not have it revealed to you until you finish step 6, step 5, step 3, step 4, step 3, step 2, and step 1. So here you have a story in 1 Samuel 16 of God telling Samuel. Samuel, he says, I have rejected Saul and I will anoint a son of Jesse to be king in verse 1. Now notice there was a general leading. And every time you pray, you will have a general leading. I will appoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king. So Samuel invited Jesse to the sacrifice. And verse 4, he went to Bethlehem. And then he called for Jesse in verse 5. And as Jesse came with his sons, Samuel asked for his sons to come. And in verse 6, when they came, he looked at Eliab, who was the eldest, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, in his head, he was thinking, this must be the one. If it was Samuel, he would have anointed Eliab. See, things in the physical can be deceptive. And verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I refuse him. The Lord looks at the heart. And so, in verse 8, Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, nope, not this one. Verse 9, Jesse makes Shammah pass by. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And in verse 10, he has to look at them one by one. Now, don't you think that is a very tedious thing? Question, why didn't the Lord just tell him, it's David? Because in point number 2, the Lord works step by step. The Lord works step by step. And you will never discover the next step until you have finished your previous step. He gives you the general direction. And look at it. And he has to look at all the seven sons. And he has to look at Eliab. Nope. Next. Nope. Next one. Nope. Next. 7 times. Don't you and I think it's a waste of time? Let me tell you. There are a lot of things that look like a waste of time to us humans. But God is testing your obedience. And I could imagine when Samuel has the last number 7 pass by and the Lord says, nope. Samuel was very concerned. He looks at Jesse and say, are there any more sons? Who knows, he could look at Mrs. Jesse and see whether she was pregnant. One more is coming. I mean, he's getting concerned. Did the Lord say to come here? 7 sons passed by. I mean, what good chance of missing 7 sons? And none of them. And Mrs. Jesse didn't look pregnant. He couldn't, expect one more. Wait another few months for the son to be born. Jesse says, oh, I have one more. Out in the field, taking care of sheep. And it must have taken time to go and get him. And they were all waiting there. Waiting for son number 8. And when David came, it was only when he come face to face, contact with David, that he heard the Lord says, this is the one. Now, sometimes God leads you, he gives you the information, no? Like some people ask, how will I know God tells me to go through the door? How do I know whether it's God promoting me? How do I know this is a business God wants me to go? How do I know whether this is the work God wants me to have? How do I know this is the course God wants me to study? How do I know whether this is a university God wants me to be? How do I know? Well, the normal way that most Christians teach you, you pray, fast, pray, fast, and then God says, thus says the Lord. You shall attend this university in this place and you will meet Mrs. Bulubata and you will sign up for this form. This is the exact place you will be. Well, God can do that. He has done that to Ananias whom he told go to anoint Saul, who formerly was persecuting the church, and you will find him at this place in a house belonging to this man at this certain street. God can do that. But most of the time, let's say you're a university student, you're wondering which way to go, or which place to go. All you feel is, you got to come face to face with your David. So, Lord, I'm not sure which one. So, you got to go into that place and explore, look, examine. And feel whether it's right. And then God never say anything. God says, nope. Then you go to the next one. Is this the one? Or you're looking for a job that God has for you. You know, you could pray and fast and pray and fast until God sends you the CEO right to your door, knocks on your door and says, God told me to let you work for me. God could do that. But most of the time, you'll be going out and being led by the Lord, and you may have to look at the seven sons of Jesse. You may have to look at seven places, and as you go to the first place, then you hear God says, nope, you go to the next one. Nope, go to the next one. Nope, go to the next one. Nope, go to the next one. And God says, this is it. You say, why didn't God tell me at the beginning I don't have to go around that whole route? It is part of your obedience test. That's a funny way to discover grace and favor. But it belongs to those who have initiative and who are diligent. How do you test diligence? By giving an opportunity for a person to be diligent. And that's part of the process of the open door. Now, on the other hand, don't run to the other extreme where, you know, you run all over the place. Right? And you're overdoing it on the other side. And you're not led by the Lord. And there's a lot of effort. You get discouraged. Your energy is spent. Now look at Samuel. He didn't run all over the place. He just kept to within one family. Within the seven sons. And it is important for us to at least be generally led in the general direction. And God does give what I call His general guidance. Then you become more specific as you zone down into the areas. So God, when you sometimes pray, God gives you a telescopic view. Then through the telescope you say, okay, I know which direction to go. At least you know north, south, east, west. And then as you go near, God give you binocular vision. That's not bad, you know, bird watching. Then as you go near, God gives you microscopic vision, if there's such a thing. And you could see, this is it. You could see clearly. So, He gives you a telescope, then a binoculars, then a microscope. Then you say, this is the exact thing that God wants you to do. That's the open door. Once you discover the open door, that's point number three. When you've taken time and you discover the open door, stay in that open door everywhere you go in that area until God opens another one. See, God never changed the open door for Paul after the first missionary journey. Second missionary journey, he was still on the same thing. And you're supposed to stay on that. Go where there's grace and favor. If there's one little sentence you could put everything into this morning's message, is go where the flow is. And when it begins to flow in that direction, keep faithful in that flow. And you'll find that it leads to a wide open door that God has reserved for you. And that's the message that God has for you as we conclude this series. Let's pray. And as we pray,